Good morning, Sunrise Community Church. We have the opportunity in the coming weeks to dive into the life of a man by the name of Simon Peter. And full disclosure, I'm pretty excited because Simon Peter is one of my favorite people in the Bible. Hands down. And I think it's for the simple reason I read about Peter and I can see myself in it. See, God has given us this great gift in the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, they attest above all else to who Jesus is, why he came, what he was like, how does he feel about others, what is his purpose for us. And in those Gospels, we see in Jesus the love of God, the power of God, the holiness of God, the willingness of God to sacrifice himself for us. And it humbles me to think of who God is. Because next to the holiness of God stands a mere mortal like myself. Next to the power of God stands powerless me, who trips over my own feet, who gets in my own way, who frustrates myself with my best efforts. And I find it interesting that aside from Jesus, that the second most mentioned person in the Gospels is a schmuck like me by the name of Peter. Mentioned over 140 times, far beyond the third person mentioned in the Gospels. Peter is a central figure because I believe that in Peter, we see who we are. And as we're going to discover in this series, we're also going to see who Christ is alive in us. Peter was blue collar. He was a fisherman. At the time, that was probably, pretty low on the totem pole of who's important in their society. Peter was passionate. He was bold, but like our video showed, he was unpredictable, uncertain, unrefined, unstable. Peter was deeply flawed. Can anyone relate to this morning? Well, I wasn't even asking for hands, but you guys jumped right on board. It just hits so close to home. On one hand, Peter was full of potential, but he was also full of shortcomings. Fear was wrapped up inside of him all the time, and he often fell apart when the pressure was on. I know what that's like. And Peter is he's just a notorious example of someone who engages the mouth before he engages the brain. And we hear these things and we have the opportunity to, maybe point the finger or think of somebody like that, but stop it right there. Because this isn't about them, this is about you. And this is about me. We too are like Peter. And as we're going to see today, Peter encounters Jesus Christ. And in the process of encountering, discovers a whole new purpose for his life. An unstoppable purpose. A purpose that's going to rearrange his priorities. It's going to change his trajectory. And I want you to know right off the bat that my prayer is the same for you this morning. Maybe you know Jesus and he's in your life. You've known him for a while. Maybe he shows up in a fresh way this morning. Maybe you're exploring who Jesus is. You're not sure about who Jesus is. Maybe he grabs a hold and changes in the trajectory that you're on. I pray that you would discover what it means to be unstoppable because Jesus is alive in you. And as we start off, just ask yourself in your own heart, is Jesus alive in you today? Is he alive in your day-to-day life? I can look at my last week and see examples of yes and examples of nope. Of successes and failures, of joys and disappointments, of frustrations, of times where I loved others and times where I was just angry with others. Is Jesus alive in you today? Will you join me in prayer? Jesus, we humbly come before you today, realizing that we go on with our lives, we often miss out on this greater unstoppable purpose that you have for us in our lives and that you have for the people around us. God, wake us this morning. Help us to see who you are and who you've made us to be as we look to the life of Simon Peter. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, to kick things off in this series, we're going to go to Luke chapter 5 and begin with the story of when Jesus met this fisherman by the name of Simon. We refer to him as Simon Peter because he really had two names. Simon, or Shimon, was his given Hebrew name. It was what he was called by his friends and his family, and Peter was a nickname that he would later take on because Jesus saw him and referred to him as Peter, which means rock. We'll learn about that more in a few weeks. But if you would, let's just follow along in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, and let's let the story unfold before us. It says in verse 1, that one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw on the water's edge two boats, left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. The Lake of Gennesaret is another, maybe more appropriate name for what we often refer to as the Sea of Galilee. It's a decently large body of water in northern Israel, but maybe not big enough where we'd refer to it as a sea. It's about the size of Lake Tahoe. So being a larger lake, surely, you know, winds can come through there, the waves can get big, but it really was the hub of supporting the local economy, and a lot of fishing happened on that lake. Interestingly enough, today, 2,000 years later, there aren't any huge cities still on the Sea of Galilee. The largest is probably about 40 to 70,000 people, nothing bigger than that, probably similar to the area we live around here. And so it wouldn't have been uncommon for Jesus to have a crowd of people following him down by the lake and to have some fishermen that were fishing. And as it mentions in here, they were washing their nets. Now, this would lead us to believe, and the verses coming up will affirm this, that it was early in the morning. They had fished throughout the night. Fishing's better at night. And that once they had finished, they were probably no doubt tired, and it was time to head home. But they had to wash their nets. The boats and the nets were two of the most valuable resources to a fisherman. And the nets, being made of fibers, ropes, they would easily disintegrate if they weren't taken care of very well. So the washing of them, the cleaning of them, the drying of them was very important in the life of a fisherman. And as we'll read in a few verses, we'd also find out in this story that not only have they been fishing all night, but they've caught nothing. They've gotten skunked. So you can imagine, put yourself in Peter's shoes, Simon's shoes, this fisherman who goes out fishing all night long, hasn't caught a thing. You're at the end of your work shift, folding up the nets, getting ready to go home. No doubt tired, no doubt disappointed. All in all, it's been a bummer of a night. Then we pick up in verse 3 where it says, he, Jesus, got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Can you imagine this? Okay, Jesus has his crowd that he's teaching. And over here on the side are just some fishermen minding their business, coming off of their night shift, tired, disappointed, folding up their nets, and then suddenly Simon looks over and some random dude is standing in his boat. Now, I have no idea what kind of emotions this sparked inside of him. But if I was him and I was tired, disappointed, and somebody's standing in my boat, I can only imagine how I might respond in that instance. Not only is Jesus standing in the boat, but as Simon goes to engage with the man asks him for something. He says, "Will you get in the boat and put out the boat a little bit from shore so I can teach these people from out in the water?" Which is a great idea. The water reflects the voice. It gives them a little space. A larger crowd can gather. But what does Peter have to give at this moment? He's tired and disappointed. And this is what he does, by the way. This is his livelihood. It wasn't just a hobby. I'm going to go fishing for the night. This is how he supports his family. This is how he puts food on the table. And I can imagine that the last thing he'd want to do would be like, okay, I'll commit to a little bit longer. Something that has nothing to do with fishing. We don't know exactly what was going through his mind, but we do know this. Simon took Jesus out on the water. And there they are in the boat. And maybe Simon could have taken a nap. But he really had nothing else to do except sit there and listen to this itinerant preacher who he didn't know. You ever been asked to do something you didn't want to do? Lord, I've been fishing all night. I'm so tired. Jesus, I'm so busy. I have a million things on my table. I don't have time. Can you get someone else to do it? Peter quickly learned in this story, this truth to be reinforced throughout his experience with Jesus, that Jesus routinely inconveniences those who follow him. Jesus meets people sometimes in what is seemingly inconvenient circumstances. Because we think if we were going to write this story, you know what? Like, you know, maybe there's a guy in the crowd and he was the all-star, the superstar. He followed Jesus everywhere and Jesus said, "You, come on, let's do this thing." But no, here's a guy who's just minding his own business, sitting in his own disappointment and fatigue. And Jesus says, you, can I hop in your boat? Push it out. Let's go. Maybe similarly, you've experienced Jesus to ask you to give of yourselves in ways that you didn't know you were ready to give. Maybe you're tired and frustrated, and Jesus says, I'm not done with you yet. I remember 5 years ago, living in Elk Grove, doing ministry at Sac State, and God opened the door for us to come here, and we had to leave the house that was familiar and the church that was familiar and come to a place that we didn't know. I remember a few weeks ago talking with a lady over here who was so excited to say yes to chaplain training, a thing we've been doing in the church and people have been growing in and serving in. And God was clearly calling her to do that. I could see in her excitement, though some other rough things were going on and frustrations. She was moving forward in that. They started their training on Thursday night. I know of others that are on that team that have cared for people with dementia, cared for people in the hospital, and one of them, a friend of mine, right now this morning is spending just time with a gentleman who's in his later years and probably in his last days. Maybe you've served in kids' ministry when it felt like you didn't have enough to give. Or maybe you've even prayed the prayer like I have sometimes, just, Jesus, I'm tired. Surely you have someone else to love these neighbors of mine right now. But friends, sometimes we just need to be interrupted. Are you willing to allow Jesus to interrupt your life this morning? Because the story starts with an interruption, but it doesn't end there. Let's move on to verse 4. It says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Which, okay, sounds like a good idea. You're a fisherman, do that. But keep in mind, once again, Peter had been sitting in this boat. The crowd was there to listen to Jesus. They were following Jesus. They were about Jesus. He's like, I'm just the guy that gave him the boat. And I fished all night and we didn't catch anything. My nets are folded and washed. They're ready. We can just go home now. And you're asking me to undo that all. And Simon gives a similar response. He says, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But these words catch me. He says, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. He didn't know Jesus, but he knew just enough to know something is not ordinary about this man. Because you say so, I will let down the nets. Like Peter, there's always lots of legitimate excuses. We've worked hard all night. We haven't caught anything. Don't you know, Jesus, that the fishing was better at night and we still caught nothing, and now you want me to put the nets out during the day? The nets are all clean. We're good to go. We're heading home. I'm done. I just need a nap. But Peter utters these words, because you say so, I will let down the nets. Do you remember the last time you said those words to God? Because you say so, I will fill in the blank. You know, church, I'm the kind of person that likes to look forward. I'm a visionary person. I get excited about the future, excited about change. But sometimes it's appropriate to take a look back. And 14 months ago, God led this church into a situation where we had no senior pastor. It wasn't on people's radar. It wasn't where we thought we would be. And God put it on the hearts of your pastoral team and the elder team to move forward in that season with the pastoral team serving together and helping to shepherd the congregation forward. Crazy, right? What company, if they lost a CEO, would say, you know what, let's go a year without one? But God was calling. Because you say so, I will. And we didn't know how long that season would be. We didn't know it was at the end of it. And guess what? Neither did you. Because this isn't just a story about a pastoral team and an elder team. It's a story of you guys as well. You guys were in a church in a time of uncertainty. What's going to happen next? Where is God going to lead? And as we know, churches don't peak in an interim period. But we're hoping in the future and what God has in store. And in the midst of it, a deeper work was being done in me and in you and in preparation and in humility. Because you say so, I will, Jesus. Last week as a congregation, we voted whether or not we would affirm our senior pastor candidate, Luke Miller, to be the new pastor here. And you guys voted and affirmed him 98% positive. That's worth clapping for. So what did he say? Take a look at the screen.
Good morning, Sunrise Community Church. It's the Millers coming to you from up in Saskatchewan, Canada. We are so excited to be coming down to Sunrise Community Church. If you haven't heard, our answer was a resounding yes from your call, and we're so thankful for your positive affirmation.
We are just so excited to get to know everyone in Sunrise and the surrounding communities, and we just thank you so much for your hospitality while we were down there.
In the meantime, you can keep us in prayer as we start the immigration process, as we look for homes, as we look to rent or sell our own home up here. And so just keep us up in prayer as we get ready to come down to Sunrise. We're looking forward to it. We're praying for you. We know you're praying for us. So Sunrise, we'll see you soon.
The journey continues, and be in prayer for them because of them being in Canada and the immigration process. It'll be at least a month before they're able to come here, and Lord willing, not much longer than that. So be praying for them. This is a big transition for them and for us, for God to be preparing us for this as well. And even I would say in this coming month and in the months to come, there's still an opportunity to say to Jesus, because you say so, I will. I'll be honest with you, and something like, sometimes you can feel as a pastor you're not supposed to say this because you're supposed to keep going, but I'm tired. Can anyone else relate to that sometimes? Just tired, right? It's been quite a season. In some ways exhausting. But at the same time too, it's not the end of the story. Let's continue on in verse 6. So Simon says, because you say so, I will. He lets down the nets, and it says this. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Two boats just loaded with fish. And you might think that this, Peter's like, let's get him to shore, high five, good catch, way to go. I really stunk at fishing last night, but this morning I'm awesome. But something much deeper is happening right here. It says, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the face of Jesus. Or he fell on his face, he fell at Jesus' knees, and he said this, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. What's happening here? They're starting to see a little glimpse of who this man is. Once again, they don't know Jesus. They don't know all about him. They don't know his purpose and why he came. But they know he speaks a word, the nets go into the water, and a catch like no other comes out. And in this moment, what they experience is awe, reverence, and as we can see here, this great sense of unworthiness, because they are not like the one whose presence they are in. This is often what we refer to as fear of the Lord. They saw something only God could do. And in that moment, they are overwhelmed by it. I don't know if you had an experience like that, but I have. It was years ago. It was the summer before my senior year of college. I'd gone on a mission trip. I've told the story before about where it was. It was in Ocean City, New Jersey, the Jersey Shore, with about 100 other college students. In that summer, I was working at McDonald's part-time. I was leading a worship team for the first time. I was being discipled. I was sharing my faith for the first time. And it was just a busy, busy summer. And about 7 weeks into it, I was at the end of my rope, just thinking, I've got nothing left in the tank. I'm not really connecting well with God. What's going on? Kind of like Peter, I was tired, a bit disappointed. And there was a time of worship where a song was being sung. We'd sung plenty of times before, and a meeting we'd been in plenty of times before. But in that moment, the presence of God hit me in a way like I'd never experienced before. It was so real and so powerful, just His presence and His holiness, that all I could do was fall to my knees and just weep, and I was there for about 30 minutes. I remember someone coming up and me putting their hand on my shoulder and just saying, it's okay. And I remember thinking, they don't know how good it is. It's perfectly okay. But in that moment, I was just overwhelmed by the holiness, the power, and the presence of God. And for some, that may sound like kind of an outside, an unusual experience. It's not my norm. But I'll tell you this, what I experienced of God in that moment, I think is more real of God than what I experience of Him in most moments. And these words were shared at the end of that summer that I'll never forget. To the whole group, the leader of the project said this. He said, never forget in the darkness what you learned in the light. Never forget in the darkness what you learned in the light. There'll be times of fatigue, of disappointment, of sadness, of hardship. Don't forget who God is and what you learn to be true of Him in the light. Well, this is surely the type of moment that Simon had amplified. Here he is, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Son of God in human form, walking on the shore, encountering a fisherman. And as we see in verses 10 and 11, Jesus says to him, "Do not be afraid." Those words seem so calming from Jesus, yet so appropriate because we do fear. And he gives him this unstoppable purpose. He says, "From now on, you will catch men. The fish you'll leave behind, you will now be involved in engaging men and women alongside of God, trusting Him to impact their souls, their lives for eternity." And it says, "So they pulled up their boats on the shore, they left everything and followed Him. And the journey began." Now think about this. Jesus showed up to preach, and He had this crowd of followers, people that were into Him, people that were curious about Him, people that wanted to know who He was. And surely in that crowd, there were some probably amazing people with some incredible giftedness and passion and enthusiasm. But that day, Jesus in His infinite wisdom knew that the one who would be the disciple upon which He would name the rock and build His church upon was the fisherman on the side of the shore. With this crowd of followers, Jesus stepped away, engaged with a man named Simon, and invited him to follow Him. He gives him that unstoppable purpose. "From now on, you will catch men." And they pull up their boats and they leave everything. What about you this morning? As we start this series, I want to give us a little time just to dive into a few questions. You may even want to pull out your notes or pull out your phone. Write down your answers to these and begin to think about them. Jesus' words to him are, "Don't be afraid." What are you afraid of this morning? What if Jesus showed up and just in a powerful way completely changed your trajectory with where you're going and what it meant to follow Him? What would you be afraid of? Write that down right now. Just take about 30 seconds and jot some of your answers. If you're still writing, go ahead and continue, but I'm going to share a few of the things I wrote down. As I thought about it, if I'm honest with myself, what I'm afraid of is missing it. Jesus does have an unstoppable purpose for me, but am I settling for just being numb, being stuck, useless, purposeless? Do I let myself just be distracted or entertained? I'm sure you have a good list. But I got one more question for you. I want you to think about this one too. What are your boats? Now, I'm not going to have you come forward over the service and give me the keys to your car, the key to your boat, the key to your house, or anything like that. But this exercise serves a purpose. You see, when they encountered this unstoppable purpose, they left their boats and their nets right there on the shore, and they left and followed Jesus. And I just want us to consider, what is the call of Jesus Christ in our lives greater than? Jesus shows up with a brand new direction, an excitement, a purpose. You can say personalized for you. You look at how Peter was called. You're going to be a fisher of men. He was a fisherman. I get that. We're going after guys. Let's do it. Jesus calls you in a very specific, direct, and personal way. What are the boats you'd be willing to leave on the shore? Take some time. Just jot that down. If thoughts are still coming to your mind, you can keep writing. I just want to share with you some of the ones I put down here. Put my house. I like my house. It's a great house. But not greater than His unstoppable purpose. I put my phone. I don't have to think too hard that I'd be better off sometimes without it. I put the internet. I love knowledge. I love knowing things. I love feeling connected to what's going on in the world. But would I set all that aside to be connected to and to know more deeply Jesus Christ? I just put stuff. Life has lots of stuff. And it's just stuff. And please don't freak out about this one. I had to be honest with myself and with you guys, but I also put down my job. I don't plan on going anywhere, but you know, I think about this guy named Luke Miller who had a job up in at a church up in Saskatchewan. He served them faithfully for 8 years, but held it with an open hand. And when God said, "Luke, I got something else for you," he followed and he went. Friends, Jesus Christ has an unstoppable purpose for you in your life. To know Him, to be involved in fishing for men. God can use you in the lives of others. And as we start this journey, well, maybe you are kind of like Peter at this point. You've just been fishing. This guy's come along. You don't know much about him or what the journey entails, but the invitation is to follow him. Will you make that decision today to take the next step and move towards Jesus Christ? Let's pray together. Father God, in this moment right now is an opportunity to say yes to you. And I pray for my brothers and sisters here this day that they would acknowledge their fears and even some of their hang-ups, maybe the boats they're holding on to. And Father God, I pray for them the freedom to just say yes to following you right now. And as they leave here and throughout this week and in the weeks to come. God, you are teaching us. You're growing us. We don't know the journey, but we know the one who's taken us on it. I pray that you would grow our love for you, our heart for you, our trust in you. We pray that we would experience not just a natural life as a follower of Jesus, but a supernatural life where your love just abundantly overflows and your power is at work in and around us. God, thank you for where you have us and where you're taking us in these weeks to come. And we pray that we would grow in you together through it. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done for us, and that you'd step away from the crowd to call just a humble little fisherman by the name of Simon and say, "Follow me." Thank you that you do that to us as well. In your name we pray. Amen.